title this morning. If you are a note taker, I hope you are, or you can get it online. Does the devil know your name? Does the devil know your name? Uh-oh. We talk about this morning. Are you ready to stir up a little bit of fire in hell this morning? That's what I'm here to ask. I'm here to ask you a question is, does the devil have your name posted in the post office box of hell? Are you a threat when you wake up? Do you make the devil nervous when you wake up? You go, oh God, he's awake. Or, oh God, she's awake again. Something's about to happen when that person begins to speak. Oh, does he know you? And does he know you by name? This morning, our goal as a Christian is to create vacancies in hell and lead people to salvation so that they can be in heaven with us. There's plenty of mansions. There's plenty of real estate in heaven. And our job as a Christian is to fill up heaven and create vacancies in hell. Amen? So this morning, I'm going to share with you just brief a message. Does the devil know your name? Because it's important that he knows your name, because if he knows your name, that must mean that you're a believer and a follower in Christ Jesus. And if he knows your name, that means that when you wake up, something's about to happen on the earthly realm and in the heavenly realms because of who you are in your relationship with Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to share a scripture in the book of Acts this morning. This is in the New King James Version, the book of Acts 19:11. And I want to show a couple things to you this morning. And I want you to understand that what God has done for Paul, he will do for you. But you have to do what Paul did to get the results that Paul received. You can't have what I have unless you've done what I've done. I can't have what you have until I've done what you've done. So the book of Acts in chapter 19, verse 11, it says this: Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So God will do unusual miracles by your hands if you allow him to do it in you and through you. Okay? It says, verse 12, it says, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and to the diseases left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. And some of the Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. We're going to talk about that. And it says, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. Hey. Paul I know. But who are you? Who is you? In the vernacular. What it is, I don't know who you are. But I know Jesus, and I know that Paul, but who are you? And when I get to heaven, I want to make sure that God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I want the devil to say, hey, you connected with that Jesus and that Paul, and your name is Jeff, and I want no part of that. That's where we need to be. Shout this morning, devil, I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm set free. You better look out. I know Jesus personally. Here's the deal. You got to know him personally. You can know about him. You can talk about him. You can dance around about him. But if you don't know him, then you don't get the benefits of him. You don't get the connection with him. You can talk about Jesus all day long. And sometimes you probably use Jesus in his middle name, Christ, in the several times before you were saved. But you didn't know him. But once you got to know him, then you get to be a family. And when you're family, family shares. Amen. And he shares everything he has with you. Amen. See, many of us know about the devil, and many of us know about demons, and Many know that hell's a real place, and there's where the fallen angels are. But the question is, this morning, does hell know your name? Does the devil know who you are? When you wake up in the morning, does he go, God, they're up again? Are you stirring up the fire in hell? Are you making a little hotter for the devil when you wake up in the morning? I finally understood why God sent me to Las Vegas, because it was the closest thing to hell that he could get. Amen. It's hot as hell. The people come here and go to the clubs and the casinos, and whatever happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas, except for the diseases that they take back into their cities somewhere else. Amen. So it's like a hell. Amen. But you know, sometimes when you're in hell, you can make the best out of it, and you can have heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning, I just want to show you a couple things in the scripture, and I want you to understand something that we as Christians need to be knowing in hell. Take a look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. This is what the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." In other words, the devil don't like you. But the Bible says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." In other words, you know what? Be sober, be vigilant, be focused on the things of God, because there's a devil who don't like you, and he's out to devour you, and what he's trying to do is steal your word. If he can steal the word from you, he'll steal your joy. Amen. If he can steal your joy, and then you think, well, gosh, this word doesn't work, and all of a sudden you start to spiral out. Amen. So you got to get this morning. That does the devil know you? That's the question. Are there books in hell written about you because you've gotten so many people saved by the word of God that there's a book about you now? Is there something published in hell that, when that person gets up, there's a change about to take place? When you walk up and the anointing shows up and people begin to get saved and set free and delivered, you guess what? You start getting a reputation in hell, and they start logging that in there. Amen? Or is there just one little small post-it note of what you've done? Post-it note faith. In hell, you know, I mean, you still, at least you posted somewhere, praise God. But wouldn't you rather be known in hell? Wouldn't you rather be like one of those generals of God, and they go, ooh, when that one wakes up, ooh, man, she's a prayer warrior, man. She's a tongue-talking, devil-stomping prayer warrior. Boy, oh, man, she gets going, oh, God, look out. Come on. You notice something in the book of Acts, in verse 15 that we read. It said, "The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" So the question I asked this morning is, how did Paul get that way? Why did demons know Paul and they knew Jesus, but they didn't know the others? What was the underlying items maybe that Paul had and Jesus had, and what you and I can have that when hell begins to talk to us, they know who we are by name? There's something interesting about Paul and Jesus. They were both intimate with God. Paul could stir up the fire in hell because of his relationship with God. The reason why you and I can stir up the fire in hell is because our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Think about this. Paul lived, and when he did, hell had no peace. But the question is, what about us? Does hell have any peace when we're alive, when we're awake? What are we doing? While we live, does hell have any peace? That's the question. Does hell have any peace when we get up? Or does the devil start to just cringe and frown, and he goes, he's up to it again? What's the secret weapon that Paul had? And I begin to look, and if you look at Paul in a lot of his writings, he always has a phrase that I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. Paul said, I'm persuaded. No matter what you do to me, no matter what you say about me, no matter what you say about the word, let me just tell you, I'm persuaded. I'm so sold out for Jesus that there's nothing you could ever do to change my mind. You could never tell me healing is not for today, because I've already been healed of several times from sickness and disease. So I am persuaded. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my Jesus that I serve, the Jesus who's my best friend, my Jesus who's my elder brother, the Jesus who when I call upon his name, things are going to change. When I am so persuaded that when I tithe, I know that I'm going to have more than a hundredfold return.
Amen.
I'm persuaded. Well, I've been a tither for several years, probably more than almost like 20 years, right? So I am so persuaded. It's not tithing is not something. It's just part of my DNA. It's just like breathing, tithing, breathing. It's all about the same. Amen. I'm persuaded that when I give to God, that I get blessed and highly favored of it. I'm persuaded that when I read the word and then I go and do the word and apply the word, that it works for me every time.
Amen.
Not once in a while, maybe on occasion. No, it works for me. I am persuaded. You see, Paul is like that. Paul was persuaded. You could not tell Paul that. Paul was persuaded. And he said to be dead and alive at the same time. Take a look at Galatians 2:20. I like this. I'm starting to understand Paul a little bit. And as I get a little bit mature in age, as I grow into things of God, and I have to wear my cheaters more often because I know I'm maturing, praise God. It says in Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So no longer do I live for my own well-being. I did that. I was selfish, self-centered, arrogant, cocky, and I was all that and a slice of cheese bread. Amen? But then I got saved and I learned it wasn't about me, but it was about him. And that I could live like he could live through me if I allowed to make some room for him. And if you look at Paul, he always made a lot of room for God. Take a look at Galatians 6:17 real quick. Galatians 6:17. New King James Version says this. For now on, let no one trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus. So why was Paul so well known and helped? Paul understood the power of the blood and the power of the name of Jesus. Because once you understand whose you are, as we celebrate a communion service this morning, and you found out about the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and when you become one with him, then you can call upon his name and he'll answer. Now, right now, if I called on Bill Gates, he wouldn't pick up the phone because he doesn't know who I am. If I called upon, the president, he wouldn't know my name. He would have my Social Security number, but he wouldn't know my name when I called. He would say, who are you? I'd say, I'm taxpayer number. Oh, okay, praise God. But he doesn't know me personally. There's not a personal relationship. If I had a personal relationship with him, he could do things for me, and I could do things for him, right? It's amazing when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, how he wants to do things for you. Paul understood to be absent from the body would be present with the Lord. That's why Paul could handle the stripes and the imprisonment and the fasting and the shipwrecks and the snake bites and the weariness and the pain, and he always called it a light inflection. This is just a light infliction. I mean, being shipwrecked to me wouldn't be a light infliction. I mean, I was like, and I watched Castaway. I mean, the guy was gone for 5 years, man. His whole life was turned upside down. But Paul said it's just a light affliction. It's just like a little scratch. It's like when I shot my hand with the gun when it went off. I said to my son, it's just a scratch. Don't worry about it. It's just a scratch. It's a light affliction. No, it hurt, man. Paul, I mean, he went through some stuff. And as Christians, you go through stuff, but you got to have the attitude of Christ that you're so persuaded that this is just a light affliction. I got to go through some stuff because Jesus went through some stuff, but I know that I'm going to get through it because I have the victory in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And then once I'm associated with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, some things are going to come against me because the devil is a roaring lion. He don't like you. He's there to cause you a little pain and a little hell in your life. This morning, what are we doing to ensure that our face is on the wall of hell's post office? You ever see Most Wanted? You know, and you go to the post office. I go there every Sunday to go pick up our mail, and I go in there, and there's a post office box. They have the Most Wanted in there, you know. I can see our faces on there in hell. There's this post office with our names on there, and they, Most Wanted, dangerous. He's a prayer warrior. Or, oh, he's a pastor. Oh, he's an evangelist. Or she, you know, she's gotten 50 saved already, and she's only been saved 1 week. Praise God. Trying to help you. The devil will know your name if you believe in the name of Jesus. Paul was doing great and exceedingly extraordinary miracles by the power of Jesus' name. People with cancer were cured. Leprosy was taken care of. Blood diseases, mental disorders, blindness, crippledness, deaf mutes, lame. All those got touched by Paul by the blood and by the name of Jesus. Paul believed in Jesus. It was more than a simple belief in facts about Jesus. He lived Jesus. Take a look at James 2:19. It says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And they know who God is. Amen. See, Paul had life-changing faith experience. When I got saved, it took a little bit. Amen? I had to get saved about 2-3 times before it stuck. Amen? I was a little rock-headed. Amen? A little stubborn. I had to go to the altar several times. And then I finally, it stuck. And I said, I can't no longer be that person anymore. Think about something. The seven sons of Sceva tried doing great and extraordinary miracles by the power of Jesus, but it didn't happen. Here's why. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The difference between Paul and them is that he had a relationship with Jesus, so he could say, in the name of Jesus. Boom. In the name of Jesus. Boom. In the name of Jesus. Boom. Things happen. But these other guys, they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. That means they didn't have relationship. See, you can't have any of my IRA accounts or any of my jewelry or any of my things to pass along because you're not part of my family. Those are going to my kids and their kids' kids. Amen. Why? Because we have relationship. It gets passed down from generation to generation. See, when you connect with God, you get all that He has to offer. But if you're not in relationship with Him, then you can't even call upon His name. Notice that they didn't say, in the name of Jesus whom we believe. Or who we preach. No. The name of Jesus meant something to Paul, but didn't mean anything to these seven sons of Sceva. Think about that for a minute. If Jesus meant something to them, demons would have had to flee when they cast them out. But they couldn't, because there's no relationship. That's why you know people that you're hanging around with that don't have that relationship, that you need to lead them in a nice way to Christ. Don't beat them on the head with the Bible. Just show them love. I got hit in the head many times with the Bible. It didn't bring me to church. It just gave me a lump on my head. I ran away from people when they used to beat me up and say, well, son, you know, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, I was already in hell. I'm selling snow cones. I'm making a fortune. Always had a smart aleck remark for that. Even the devil has standards. That's why he wouldn't accept me. They made all those jokes, but I was bound to go to hell because I wasn't in relationship with Jesus. Think about something for a second. I got these nails here, you know, and I was thinking about it. And these things are about like 50 cents a piece. The nice spikes, you know. But in the hands of Jesus, when they pierced him, they became priceless. But my hands, they're worth 50 cents a piece. I got $1.50 worth of nails. It won't do none. But in Jesus' hands, when they pierced him, it became priceless. It activated supernatural power that when you called upon the name of Jesus, things would break loose and things would change. They're just ordinary nails, but in the hands of Jesus, they're priceless. See, the name of Jesus on the lips of a person who doesn't believe or have faith is weak. But the name of Jesus on the lips of a believer who is sold out for Jesus, mountains will move down. Seas will roar. Marriages will be restored. Illnesses will be healed. Comfort to the hurting. Strength to the weak. Riches will be given to the poor. Fractured relationships are mended. Churches are growing. People are saved. Nations are awakening spiritually. And revival happens when you have relationship with Jesus. The devil knows those by name who believe in the name of Jesus. The devil will know your name when you call upon the name of Jesus because you're in relationship with him. The moment that your life changes, the day that you get saved, the day that you say, I'm no longer going to serve the devil's way of doing it, I'm going to turn and go 180, and I'm going to go do things God's way, then your name gets known in hell. Amen? It's okay to have a reputation in hell. You always wanted to have a bad rep when you were on earth, you know? That's why people join gangs and stuff. Why? Because they want to be part of something. They want to have a rep. They want to have a family that they can belong to. The whole time God's saying, come and be part of my family. I'll get you connected, hooked up. I'm the source. Everything else is a resource. See, living for Jesus is more than believing and thinking about Jesus. It means that you're living for Jesus. The devil knows who's living for Jesus and who's only talking. Since the devil can no longer steal your soul, he goes out and tries to make your life hell on earth. That's why you go through some stuff. That's why when you get prayed and you get healed, the first thing the devil tries to do is steal the healing and say that God didn't really heal you. But the devil is a liar. The devil hates when you flow in the gifts of the Spirit. He hates when you join up in praise and worship and fellowship. He hates when you pray and call on the name of Jesus. He hates when you do righteous deeds that help one another. He hates when you shout, the blood of Jesus covers up. This morning, you need to understand, when you do that, you are stirring up the fire in hell and making it hotter than hell for him. Amen? So this morning, you got to make the devil nervous. When you wake up, the devil ought to say, gosh, dang, he up again. When you wake up and you begin to praise him, when you get in your song, and you know, I was listening to some music yesterday that I went to the enemy's camp, you know, took back what he stole from me, you know. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm getting a little dancing and swerving a little bit, you know, praising the Lord, you know. They pull up to Starbucks with the music playing real loud, and Jesus music, you know, so everybody in the whole Starbucks can hear it. I got the bass real loud. Boom, 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 boom. Went to the enemy's camp. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Why? I'll go right in the enemy's camp. Why? Because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. He see me coming. He go, oh, here he comes again. He's no longer 6 foot tall. He's 10 foot tall. But he's got Jesus. So how do you keep your name in front of the devil? How do you make sure your name's known in hell? Make sure that you're a committed Christian. That you're sold out. That you're washed in the blood. That you're filled with the Spirit and you're schooled in the Word. Be a praying Christian. Take some time. Here's the deal. Time you spend with the Lord is more effective than the time you spend for the Lord. Let me say that again now. Time you spend with the Lord is more effective than the time you spend for the Lord. The devil would rather have you working, because a lot of times work can be done in the flesh. But true prayer can only be done in the Spirit. I like to spend time with my wife. But I can go and do work around and buy her flowers and do all that. But it'd be funner just to spend some time with her. Jesus is always saying, come and spend some time with me. I know you have all these things to do, but when you spend time with me, I can show you some things. The devil doesn't care how many people talk about Christianity. He cares about how many people are living their lives on their knees. Also, be a forgiving Christian. Because one thing the devil likes to do is he likes, and his best tool is to get Christians to work against each other. Well, I don't like so-and-so from so-and-so church, and you know, and they're this and this and that. And he tries just to find some common ground with a brother and sister from some Baptist church or Catholic church or Christian church or Methodist church or non-denominational church. And you know, find some common ground. Don't knock that person. Amen. Don't carry unforgiveness. Forgive and forget. If it's your choice if you want to carry the baggage of unforgiveness, but unforgiveness blesses the blessings of God. It blocks it. It stops it. When you're in unforgiveness, God wants to bless you, and he's like, oh, I can't. There's unforgiveness now. Uh-oh. So it's best to forgive, forget, move on. Doesn't mean you bring it up to the person 18 more times and grind it in their face. Amen? Because we're good at that, aren't we? Think of Jesus did that to us. Brought up all our past mistakes and every time we lied and cussed and sinned. And, you know, I mean, it would not be good. We could be there for 24 hours. This morning, we got to unite. We got to get together. We got to do things God's way. We got to stir up the fire in hell. We got to let the devil know who we are. We got to let the devil know whose side we're on. We're on Jesus' side. So this morning, you need to take some action this morning. You need to call out that devil when situations come. Don't blame the devil for everything that doesn't work out. It's probably your fault. You don't want to admit it because you don't want to take any personal responsibility. And that's the reason why our world and our government and our country is in the way it is, because nobody wants to take any personal responsibility. We don't want to do that. It's somebody else's fault. The devil made me do it. Yeah. You're blaming your wife when it's you, you fool. You're blaming your husband when it's you, you're a fool. He don't listen. So buy some elephant ears. Circus is in town, isn't it? See, the devil tries to get in there and causes chaos. How come you love that person on the wedding day, but a year later you hate that person? What did you see when you're walking down the aisle that you still don't see in them now? Come on now. Just trying to be real. See, the devil will throw those things in and see how rotten he is or she is, and they don't do it, and they cause trouble, and all of a sudden everything spirals out. But when you have Jesus as the center of your marriage, when you have Jesus as the center of your life, when you have Jesus, you tend to get your kids rallied around the things of God. They try to make the right decisions. I didn't say they're going to make the right decisions all the time, but they're going to think about the ramifications more when they serve Jesus. Because they're not trying to offend you as much. They don't want to hurt Jesus's issues, his the relationship. Amen. Now I may offend my wife, but I don't want to offend God. Now I have to repent to my wife, but I'm going to have to repent to God, and I don't want to miss out on the things that God has for me. See, the devil is a liar. He just comes to devour. He comes to destroy. And what you need to understand is that you have the power of Jesus Christ. You have the blood of Jesus that flows in your very veins. The only reason why you're alive is because the blood is still pumping. Once the blood stops pumping and the heart stops beating, there ain't no more oxygen. You dead. That means you can be present with Jesus and you're in your mansion in heaven. And now there's a vacancy in hell because no longer are you going there, but now you're heaven bound. I'd like to have a dream to see how many people's lives I've affected just by, not by what I'm saying, but how I act as a Christian. Then I'd like to have another list of is what I've said to people that helped them turn around and got to Christ. And then I want to know those that I got saved, you know, through the ministry. And I'd just like to see that, because I'd like to see that posting in hell. Am I one of the most top wanted terrorists? You know what I'm saying? Or am I just, you know, one of those other like, am I the Bin Laden, you know, of the bunch? Or am I, you know? So we have terrorists within our church. We got, you know, been sleeping, you know. You know, been loafing. But God is looking for someone been working. Amen. On his behalf. And when you've been working, God is going to go ahead and make sure that your name is posted in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's also a book in hell that the old man, he got up or she got up again. I knocked them down with cancer, but they got right back up because they used the name of Jesus. I gave them a foreclosure, but I got them back up and put them into a new home, something better than what they had. I tried to steal their kids from them, but now they turned around and are serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I mean, that's how that works. Man, they preached some kind of word and a whole bunch of people got set free. Devil sitting there screaming, pulling his hair out. No more! I got all these vacancies in my cheap motel. Y'all going for a mansion in heaven. That's good. Think about something on the third day when Jesus rose from the dead. Didn't they say he went to hell and he took the grave keys from hell? See, he unlocked a whole bunch of doors that were down there to get the captives free. Amen. And he said, no more access for you, devil. You ain't having no touch on my people. But yet we still see people going to hell because that's their choice. Because God is a loving God. He doesn't want you to go to hell, but you get to choose to go if you choose to go. But this morning, let's be Christians that the devil knows us by first name when we wake up. Not because we're one of his lieutenants, but we're the most wanted. We're the most feared. We're the most hated. We're like Paul. I mean, he's trying to shipwreck me. He's trying to get me a snake bite. He's trying to call. And Paul the whole time says, it's a light inflection. Why? Because I am persuaded as a Christian, as a pastor. I am persuaded, though no matter what comes my way, I know it's not from God. I know it's from the devil. Amen. And that I can defeat it by using the word of God to my situation. The only reason why I lack is because I have a lack of knowledge. The only reason why I don't have all the blessings of God is because I haven't activated it all by faith. It isn't God's fault. It's my fault. The reason why my name isn't posted in hell with a big banner is because I haven't gone out and got a whole bunch more people saved. I haven't gone and started kicking some stuff down. Say no to that. Someone cursing the name of Jesus. Don't use my brother's name like that. Still love you. Might love you from a further part away. God didn't say you had to like him. God said you had to love him. Amen? So the question again. Does the devil know your name? Does he know who you are? Does he fear and tremble when you wake up? Does he say, oh no, I'm going to have another bad day of misery when you wake up? When he throws everything at you but the kitchen sink and you still confess and praise Jesus and you're getting squeezed and Jesus keeps on coming out. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm believing you, Lord. I'm going through, but Lord, I know that you, there's a blessing coming. That I'm highly favored. I've got to come. Does he know your name? Because if he doesn't, it doesn't mean you're connected to God. It doesn't mean you're connected with Jesus. There's a relationship missing. Just like those seven gentlemen, the seven sons, you're going to try everything but Jesus' name. Why? Because there's no relationship. You can't call on a name that you don't know. You can't call me for a reference if you don't know me. I just call up Jesus, say, Jesus, I need a reference here, buddy. Hey, Jesus, elder brother, I want you to know I need your reference on this circumstance. Oh, what scripture and verse would you like to use? I'd like to use, by your stripes, I am healed. And then that sickness goes away.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Then I'm blessed to be a blessing.
Amen. Yep.
I'm going to confess my end result. Devil doesn't like when you see when it's dark and disparity is hitting your life, and he hates when you start to put the light on, because what happens is that problem then becomes really, really small when you start using the Word of God. And the devil wants you to speak it so it gets so big that the Word can't overtake it. But when you use the Word on it, that little thing is just a light affliction, like Paul said. But we make the little molehill into this giant mountain because we say, and I'm sick, and I got this, and I'm broke, and I'm busted, and I'm disgusted, and I got this, and I got that going on, and you ain't gonna believe me, and I believe you. You are a mess right now, praise God. What's coming out of your mouth? You don't think my wife and I go through hell all the time? Put the name pastor in front of your name and watch all hell break loose in your life. That's why I didn't want to be pastor. I was afraid. Because I seen what it could do to men and women when the devil comes a-roaring. But you know how we defeat the devil? On our knees. Praying. Confessing the Word. Just like you do. That's why a lot of you don't have to ever even call me and say, Pastor, I'm going through something. Because you just send me the testimony report that says, hey, by your stripes I've been healed, and this worked out, and I got five job opportunities all at 1 week. I don't know how the heck that happened, but my God. The devil tried to cause all these troubles, but God's word overtook it. That's why you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. That's why arthritis can't stay on you. Talk to Matt, right? There's no arthritis anymore. You've been healed for a year, right? Isn't that what the doctor's report says? But he could have walked around and said, well, I'm going to have this arthritis. I'm going to be in a wheelchair. But he said, no. By his stripes, I were healed. We're healed means I am healed, so I just go walking to heal. I might not feel it. I might feel in pain. I might be riddled with some stuff. I might have to take some medicine. But I am standing. I'm looking at myself being healed, and now he's healed. He walks and functions just like anybody else. He has no issues, no problem. He can play football and run around and chase girls and all that kind of stuff if he wants to, or farm animals or whatever's out there. I mean, you know, a horseback ride and all that kind of stuff. Praise God. But he took the word. Because, see, his name is known in hell. See, his name is already known in hell. Why? Because he has a relationship with Jesus. And all he had to do was call on Jesus. And Jesus took care of it. And the devil said, whoa! He didn't look at the age of the individual. He didn't look at how much word they had in them. They just said, man, this kid is connected with Jesus.
Amen.
And the devil said, I want to throw some stuff on you and destroy you. And he said, well, I got this elder brother that said I don't have to be destroyed. Try to wipe me out. I said, no. Give me no cancer in my lung. What are you talking to? Talk to that hand. See, the difference is when he talked to the hand, what the devil seen was the ones that were pierced. That's the difference. He sees the pierced hands of Jesus And so I say, talk to the hand, and all he sees is Jesus' hand that were already passed and pierced. And guess what? There's power in that name of Jesus. There's the power in the blood of Jesus. And guess what happens? The devil has to flee. The devil has to go. You have to rise above your occasion. You're healed. You're whole. You're blessed coming in. You're more blessed going out. You're highly favored of the Lord. God. Boy, I knew I shouldn't have got that double shot in that coffee this morning. Do you get it?
Amen.
Do you understand that relationship has so much to do with who you are and where you're going and what you have access to? You got access to everything in the kingdom. Everything. Every word in that Bible is for you and for me. You can find every life situation in that Bible that you can apply to your life and watch the devil flee. But you got to believe it. You got to be persuaded like Paul was. No matter what come my way, praise God, I've got God on my side. Amen? Heavenly Father, bless your people. Everything they touch this week, they will be blessed. Lord God, increase them, Lord God. Let their mindset, Lord God, expand. Break, Lord God, any mindsets that are not of you. Weak mindsets, go. Build themselves up in the Word, Jesus. Let them take the Word this week and let it just like, boom. Let it be like spinach to Popeye, Jesus. Let it explode in them, Lord God. Allow them to use it to their circumstances and situations. Allow them to go to new levels, Lord God, in you, Jesus. For, Lord God, you've already defeated the devil. He is already under our feet. But I want him to know who I am in hell. I want him to say, oh, no. They're awake again at that Spirit Life Christian Church. Oh, they're praying again. Oh, they're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, they're waiting triumphantly for Jesus to return. Oh, bad news for the devil, because we just woke up. Lord, bless your church. Bless your people. Find favor, Lord God, in the marketplace, Lord God. Financial blessings, Lord God, be overturned this week, Lord God, into their favor. Healings, Lord God, take place in the bodies today, right now, instantly and suddenly, Lord God. Let our faith arise. Let us be persuaded when we walk out of here that there is nothing too big, nothing too large for our God, our Savior, our best friend, our advocate, our elder brother, Jesus. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen.